One of the things that we hear so often is I would love to start that, but the IRS is gonna, they're gonna look at me. They're gonna see me. I'm gonna mess it up, and that's gonna cause an audit, right? There's a lot of fear, especially around the tax end of it, that let alone the fear of just opening a business in the first place, right? But of like doing something wrong.
Hey peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love if you could give us your opinion on how you felt about the show, your experience that you have in regards to what we've been talking about. I am having an absolute blast, but your input is like dynamite on that explosion. So give us your input. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns, give us everything you got. We love it. Thanks. I hope you're having an awesome day. Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Shauna. Shauna, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. I am totally excited to have you here. One, because you have poppies, not one, five of them. And you're a tax goddess, which I also love. So, you're talking my love languages. So, give everybody the highlights of who you are and what you do for business.
Absolutely. So, Shauna, the tax goddess, and everybody wants to know the last name. I don't even bother. You need me, you look up tax goddess, super easy to find. So, I am what's called a tax strategist. So, a little bit different than a traditional, exactly, traditional CPA. So, your CPA takes the information you give them, prepares a tax return. A tax strategist, my job is to work with you during the year so that before December 31st, we've implemented, tweaked, changed, made all the modifications to lower your net profit before you give those numbers to the CPA. So, the tax bill's bad thing's big when we're done. So, yes.
I am going to advocate you over and over and over again. I cannot tell you, the bane of my existence is when people take their taxes to somebody and they go, oh, you can't write this off. And they go, oh, okay. And it's like, okay, your annual
Okay.
board meeting, you can write off. Like,
Absolutely.
who are you
Ordinary,
talking
necessary, and
to?
reasonable all day, all day. 100%.
Right. Yes. So talk to me about kind of how you do what you do for somebody that doesn't understand the differences, and then I will pick your brain. We'll get into all of the fun stuff.
Love it. Love it. So, really, I think the easiest way to think about it is kind of like a chessboard. So, every single person has a different set of pieces. So, some people are married, some people have kids, some people have fuzzy fur-legged kids, some people have a business, some have real estate, some are closer to retirement, some are just getting started, right? So, everybody's chessboard is a little bit different, but the rules are the same. You can do this, you can do that. Like, here's the black and white. The IRS, in most cases, there are definitely some gray areas, but in most cases, the rules are pretty black and white. And so, really, what our job to know to do is what is your goal, specifically your goal, right? So, if you are close to retirement, do you want to put away 100,000, 500,000, a million? What does that look like? And once we know what your goals are, so you want to buy that boat, you want to retire, you want to pay for kids' college, whatever those goals are, we use the chess pieces that you have in play for you. And of course, we know all the rules, right? And we tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it to be able to reach whatever the goal is. Of course, the whole time reducing the tax burden. So.
Brilliant. So let's back up the bus a little bit. How did you get into tax? It says as your thing.
Absolutely.
Because it was so fascinating.
You're sweet. Well, I was going to say, very long story short, it actually started in astrophysics, not anywhere near tax, right? Very long story short. So started in astrophysics, got to the end of my freshman year in college, okay? And my mom, who is my goddess, okay, and side note, if you ever want to read the full story, you can check it out in the book, 6% Life. But my mom, who is my goddess, I was sitting summer break, right? Sitting at the kitchen table with her. And my mom is German, very stoic, very, doesn't really, not a lot of emotive kinds of things. Okay. She does one of the, she's opening the mail. She just puts it down, pushes back from the table. And I'm like, what's going on? What happened? She doesn't do that. What's going on? I just got a notice from the IRS and they want more money. And this is ridiculous. And I've had discussions with the CPA and with the tax attorney, and they tell me there's nothing else you can do, nothing else to write off. And this is just it's so frustrating being a business owner, right? And of course, being her daughter, like, well, I'm kind of smart, right? Astrophysics, I'm good with numbers. We can sort this out. There's got to be something, right? Because Trump's paying 2%, right? There has to be something that can be done here. So long story short, go back to college, change astrophysics to the hobby, switch to accounting and finance, get to my senior year, start to specialize in tax. And then long story short, that's where the alphabet of letters comes in after my name. So got the CPA, got the master's in tax, got the certified tax coach, which those people specialize in tax strategy. So out of 660,000 CPAs, there's only 607 that specialize in tax strategy. Then you get CTS, which is the top 15 of those people, and they rank us. And they refuse to tell us who's number one, but they'll tell us who's in the top three. And I'm pretty sure I know, but I'm not allowed to say. So there you go. But yeah, so long story short, all of this was to be able to help my mom, be able to help her reduce her taxes. And that's really where the 6% life, where the title of the book came from, is at this point, now, of course, helping her and thousands of clients at this point, our average tax rate for our clients is 6.92%. And we're talking, they make millions of dollars. Exactly. Right. So I was able to take those skills. My mom is a little bit lower than 6.92%, a little bit. But yeah, be able to take all of those skills and strategies and apply them to business owners. That's, at this point, astrophysics was my love. And now tax is my love. It's very exciting. So
awesome. Yes. Well, and I hope you don't just specialize in physicists as a business.
No.
But the rest of us too.
Everybody else. Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, of course, there's a couple of areas we don't specialize in. Nonprofits don't need us. They don't pay tax in the first place, right? Those kinds of things. But generally, if you're a business owner, and it's any business owner. So for example, if you own rental real estate, you are in fact a business owner, right? Mm-hmm. If you own a brick and mortar store, if you do Etsy and you're doing sales on Etsy, if you're an Uber driver, you have a business, right? And I think that's what a lot of people miss or misunderstand is that even if your primary job is a W-2 and you have a side gig of doing the Uber or Lyft or something on the weekends, that's a business. You have massive opportunity for write-offs, even with just a side gig. So there's some really cool things that can be done when you are a business owner of any kind. So.
Yes, I am back in my early days of business coaching, would often tell people, if you don't have a side hustle, either one, go to your Visa and figure out where you're spending the most amount of money and figure out a business that you can put yourself around that and have the write-offs for it. Or two, figure out what you absolutely love to do and talk about all day long and would do it for free, even if you, and start a business doing it. Yep. The Visa is the best plan.
I was going to say, I'm like, I've never heard anybody phrase that way. Can I steal that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If more people started their business understanding profitability and expenses before they went, oh, I'm good at this, I think I'll do a business in this. Like, we can incorporate that. We'll incorporate that. Trust me. That's the back end though.
I love it. No, it's such a great idea. And you're right, because people just, they don't think about it that way. For many, many, many people, you get out of college, you get a W-2, which in my world is like a four-letter word, W-2. But yeah, you know, they never think about, where am I spending the money to scratch my own itch? What can I do? So brilliant. Right. Love it.
Right. Well, and so many people, like, let's just talk about this for a half second. We'll get into the kind of what I'm going to call like the $2 to $10 million businesses, because I think they struggle the most with figuring out how to wrap their head around this thing. But startups, when somebody's starting up and they're going, hey, I think I want to do this, the reason that I start with your Visa and your, and where you're spending the money, is because so many people will, when they look at their visas over the span of a year, will start to notice, hey, I spend an extraordinary amount on X. Whatever X is, it could be their dogs, it could be the toys. It's like, okay, great. So let's start there. And how do we implement something, anything that can allow you to write that aspect off? And if you decide, and you learn a lot in business, because, you know, walking dogs or getting your kids to walk the dogs so that you can write off the treats for the dog.
Yeah. And of course, write off the kids. And
yeah, exactly. Double hitter there. I love it. You so, the business acumen side of things, which people don't understand and they're afraid of. And it's like, really, to me, it comes down to you market, you sell, and you have fulfillment. That's it. You own a lemonade stand. You have a sign says lemonade, 25 cents. Market. You have some lemonade and you charge 25 cents for it. So the sign, the collecting of the 25 cents, the giving of the lemonade, that's your business. Done. And you can understand it from there. So love anything it. You want to add for the people that are thinking and they're side hustling going, I don't get it. Why would I do that?
I think the biggest thing that I would add is, well, as you're saying, it can be very simple. Don't be afraid to mess up. One of the things that we hear so often is, I would love to start that, but the IRS is going to, they're going to look at me. They're going to see me. I'm going to mess it up and that's going to cause an audit, right? There's a lot of fear, especially around the tax end of it, that let alone the fear of just opening a business in the first place, right? But of like doing something wrong. A couple of pieces to kind of quell that fear here. Firstly, about 9 months ago, the IRS released a statement saying, if you're not making at least $1 million, we don't even have the bandwidth to look at you, like, at all. Nice. Right. So now, side note, that's not for the bad actors out there. Don't be doing bad things, because they look at those. Okay.
No, but look at that.
Yeah. For the baby business owner, if you write off that, you know, iPhone and you're like, should I not write off the phone? Right. It's okay. Okay. So it's okay to make a mistake. If a mistake happens, yes, CPA, you may get audited if it's big enough or whatever, but the government isn't out there to throw people in jail. I've had multiple people tell me, is the SWAT going to come? Like, are they going to like knock down my door? I mean, like that level of scare. The IRS doesn't have resources to do that.
Too many movies, people.
You're safe. You're totally safe. Okay. But I think the biggest thing, you know, be honest, be upright, do the things, you know, ask the questions is probably the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Ask your CPA, ask Google, ask ChatGPT. Okay. Now take them with a grain of salt, right? They're not perfect.
But start somewhere.
But can they at least kind of get you along the path of like, well, what would happen if, and it, how could this cell phone be a write-off? What do I need to be tracking? You know, those kinds of things. I think fear is one of the biggest hard stop lines for a lot of people. And the benefits of the world is you can ask questions all over the place. So.
And I would suggest if you're starting that and you're taking your $10,000 worth of dog toys and writing them off for $25 worth of dog walking, that you take your tax write-offs, put them into a fund that makes you money and save it for a year. Because if they do audit you and they go, we'll let you take half of that and you owe taxes on the other half, then you at least have the capital to be able to put it in. And to your point, nobody should throw you in jail because you wrote off your cell phone.
You're good.
That's
you're
not
good.
Fraud.
No.
Silly mistakes, not fraud. Okay, so let's transition into kind of the bigger kids on the block that are putting together what I love to call Frankenware. It's like, I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I put it together. It's trying to breathe air. Hope and prayer that it comes to life and we're profitable again. Yep. You know who I'm talking about. So talk to me about them and kind of what some of the biggest mistakes are that you see them making and how they can avoid them.
Absolutely. The biggest mistake that comes to mind almost immediately is honestly following TikTok advice. I'm going to call it TikTok advice. Okay. So TikTok is infamous for having 30-second, 1-minute, 3-minute videos, right? And you'll get the guru on there saying, you can write off your kids and you can pay them $100,000 a year. And that's a tax deduction. I'm not arguing that it's not a tax deduction. What I am discussing is that, yeah, you can do that, but there's about 25 steps in order to do that properly. So be very cautious when you are ChatGPT and Google and these kinds of things. Make sure that you're looking and reading and listening to CPAs. Do they have titles? Are they CPAs? Are they financial advisors? You know, what kind of background and education do they have? And ask, again, back to asking questions. Make sure you're asking them questions. Yeah, that's great. $100,000 for my kids. So how? Like, how do I do that? Because there are so many basic, we call them low hanging fruit, right? Mm-hmm. So something like paying your kids, right? This year, for example, 2023, the current limit is $13,850 that you can pay a child, age of 7 or higher. Okay. That you can pay a child and there's zero tax on that. None. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is great. And it's a fantastic piece of advice. Places where people mess up. They give the kid a 1099 instead of a W-2. Now your kid has a business. Okay. They write the check, but they never run it through actual payroll, right? There's payroll forms, 940s, 941s. You have to give a W-2 at the end of the, I mean, there's stuff that has to be done. They are paying the kid out of an S corporation instead of out of a Schedule C, which means that you have to pay FICA and Medicare. Okay. So there's all these little, I call them traps, right? That are, you know, you're doing the strategy and the strategy is valid, but if you don't have those proper steps, it can really cause problems for you. So I think those are kind of maybe the biggest things, the biggest issues that we see.
Absolutely. And as a marketer, people, when you're watching those 30-second TikTok videos, they really want you to go back to the whole, the long form and listen to the whole story.
Yes.
But
yes,
that's okay. I mean, if all you did was listen to 30-second tax advice and then go to Sean and go, okay, so here's my list of questions.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. I mean, this is one of the things when you look for that education, you're right. You can go to the long form. Okay. There's almost like levels of education, right? There's that TikTok video, the 10-minute YouTube video. For example, Tax Goddess, we actually have a group coaching model that is specifically about tax strategies, right?
Nice. So talk to me about that. What did they learn and how does that work?
Love it. So it's called the 6% Life Group, specifically for tax strategies. And it's specifically meant for small to medium-sized businesses, kind of starting out, I'd say under that $10 million range is probably right. And we cover a specific strategy every single week. So for example, the strategy we just covered last week was the research and development tax credits. A lot of business owners don't even know that they qualify because they're thinking, oh, well, I have to be Pfizer, the drug company with millions of expenses. No, you can be the little guy and it's 25,000 of expenses and you just reduced your tax bill by $7,000 just because you wrote out your expenses. There's some really cool things. And so within the group, we have a whole back office. It's called Tax Goddess University. There's a whole back office where you can ask questions. Our team in the background, we've got 93 people on staff at Tax Goddess in 17 different countries. So our entire team handles the back office, the front office, videos. We do live Q&A. And so, you know, really when you're looking for that education, it can go from the TikTok to the YouTube to actual classes all the way up to custom design tax plans using your chess pieces, right? So those are typically for bigger businesses, you know, people taking home about $1 million a year. So it can really range depending on what it is that you need for your situation. So,
well, absolutely. There's, and I think that people don't realize as well as they're growing their businesses and innocently enough, you start learning about business, you go, oh, okay, so this worked when I had, you know, $40,000 of income. And you don't realize that the rules of the game change when you have 100,000 or when you have a million. Yeah. And it's so important to me to connect and kind of find out what's changing. Is there a cadence that you recommend people connect with you on kind of as they're doing their business? Is it an annual thing? Is it a quarterly thing?
So good or bad, Tax Goddess ourselves, we're a little over communicative, let's put it that way. So if you're a member of the Tax Goddess family, we talk to our clients a minimum of once a month.
Yahoo!
We love it.
I wasn't going to offer that without your consent
so
going.
You're so sweet.
Well, I would have mind.
It's important because listen, you know, the one thing that we tell our clients and to anybody out there, if you have a change in your life that is going to cost or save, right? Make more money or spend more money, either way, of more than $5,000, you need to say something to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's your CPA, just to at least get some basic advice, or if that's your tax strategy group or whatever that is, right? Say something. Because sometimes, like you and I were talking about dogs, so dogs have come up at least 5 times in this conversation. I love it. If you buy a new puppy, right? The puppy, maybe you got him from the pound, little rescue, right? $60 from the pound or whatever, right? Well, the puppy might only be 60, but you've got the toys and the grooming and the dog beds and the food and the da-da-da-da. That's like a minimum $5,000 investment for a dog, right? $5,000, we can write off dogs. If you do it right, with the right steps, you can write off your dogs. And so if you never ask, you'll never write it off. You'll just be paying all those expenses out of your pocket. But if you ask, you're good to go. So yeah, Tax Goddess is really big. It, like I said, the monthly is kind of the minimum. With some clients, we talk to them once a week. So it really just depends on what's going on in your life.
And people, please, 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 please. I can't tell you how many people I have told, absolutely, you can write off your dog, go talk to your tax accountant. If you don't have one, find a good one for it. And I love that I think I have three I'd like to recommend now, because most accountants, one, don't really understand taxes. Two, don't really understand how the IRS works. And it just boggles my mind. And if you talk to your uncle and go, oh yeah, I'm thinking of writing off my dog, and they go, well, I can't do that. And you're an idiot if you think you can. If you take that advice, you've just paid $5,000 in taxes that you didn't need to. So have the conversations. Please, 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 at least start with the conversations and find out how. What does that mean? Is it for everybody? Probably not, but how can you do it?
And what I highly suggest here, guys, right? Yeah. Let me really quickly, I want to give the concept of the aggression scale. Okay. Yes. So 0 to 10. Now, this is aggression scale for tax strategy. Okay. 0 to 10. Most entrepreneurs sit somewhere between the 6 and an 8. Okay. Whether you're small business, big business, it doesn't matter. You are a by nature, take risk kind of person being an entrepreneur. Okay. Generally 6 to 8. So 0, the IRS never calls you, never, ever, except for a random audit, which can always happen. Okay. 10 means we're all going to jail. Okay. So from 0 to 10, 10, we're going to jail. 9 is Al Capone. You're doing shady stuff and you're hoping you don't get caught. Okay. And 8 is where it's completely legal, but you might get a call. It's okay. It's legal. You got all the paperwork. So do you want to call? If you don't want to call, you want to go to a 7. Okay. So the reason why I describe the aggression scale is because if you think about your CPA and you honestly answer, okay, so let's say you think you're a 6 and you think about your CPA and you're like, they're a -4. Of course, your CPA is going to tell you that the dog is not write-offable because you're 6, they're -4. You need to be working with somebody, your financial team, your financial advisor, your CPA, your tax strategist, your bookkeeper, all of these, your attorney, they all need to be at the same risk level as you are, minimum, right? Or a little bit higher, help you push boundaries a little bit, right? So ask your CPA, describe that 0 to 10, right? Never, ever, no audits, never, ever, and all going to jail, and see what your CPA says, right? Now there's lots of CPAs out there that are like, yeah, I'm a 6. And if you're a 6, you're like, great, cool, right? Maybe they just don't know the strategy. So you add that tax strategist level on top. But yeah, knowing that aggression scale can make a major difference in how much money you are leaving on the table that you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. So,
absolutely. Well, two, there's an extra added fun layer to this that I think a lot of people really don't understand is the whole differentiation between corps, especially in the States. So I get it. We have an international podcast. This is now we're going to talk about states, because you guys have a special kind of something going on when somebody will go into business, they'll start a limited company, but they don't realize that they can start other companies and remove their IP from it. They can remove their assets from it. They can remove their there's so much opportunity there, and people just don't understand that. So one, do you offer consultations regarding that? And, you know, what does that look like?
Absolutely. So in our world, generally we call it entity structuring. Right. So a lot of companies, you know, you might start out small and you have your IP and you have your assets, and then magically you hit the viral button of business, right? Boom. Right. And now you have all these things and people and staff and assets and IP and like just everything everywhere. Okay. So absolutely segregating IP and leasing the IP back, segregating assets, right? Cars, trucks, fleets, heavy duty equipment, whatever that is, segregating it, leasing it back, creating tax deductions. Okay. Your people, this is a big one that a lot of people miss. If you have staff, whether they're overseas, local, doesn't matter where the people are, okay? If you have staff, separating them into their own entity, right? All of this separation is not only a tax strategy, but generally also a legal liability strategy, right? If something happens in your main business and your intellectual property is owned by another company, they can't get that. They can't take that from you. It's a completely separate entity. So one of the most important things, in my opinion, is getting that team, right? Because I'm not an attorney. I'm a tax goddess, right? I'm CPA, tax, give me all the taxes, okay? But I'm not an attorney. I'm not an insurance person, right? We got to get them involved. What kind of insurances do we need for this structure? Your bookkeepers, right? You're going to have, if you have 10 companies, you're going to have 10 sets of books. Just think about that. That's a lot of books, okay? So lots of books. But, you know, as you start to grow, segregating this piece from this piece from that piece, you may have foreign partners, right? You may have foreign investors. What is that going to do to change the structure? So all of those pieces need to be discussed, in my opinion, with the group, with your team, right? Because of course, we can give you the tax strategy side, right? If you want to go to Ireland and open the Irish company and get the 2% like Apple does, okay. I think they shut that down, by the way. But there's other countries that do those kinds of things. Okay. So, but you know, you also need to look at the legal side, the insurance side, all sorts of pieces to that. So.
Love it. Well, and I think people don't realize too, is that as they open up their product lines, that the opportunities for different taxes and in the States, different lawsuits, opens up, for example, rentals. You know, somebody starts renting stuff and that's a whole different ball game altogether. It's great revenue, but it's a totally different business model.
Well, especially if you're talking about real estate renting, you might have sales tax, income tax. Some local locations have specific taxes just on rentals or cleaning fees, different types of
roadmap.
1,000%, right? Somebody trips and falls on a rental versus somebody if you're renting out your heavy duty equipment. Yeah.
Yep.
Love it.
Awesome. I love it. So in a minute, I am going to ask you about a Cinderella story of one of your clients. But before I do that, we are going to go to a pause.
Are you running a business over seven figures, but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over seven figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/.
So I am super excited to hear about a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
So I think my absolute favorite story. Now, this was a while ago. Okay. So at the time, she was a very small business owner. Okay. She was making jewelry. Actually, I'm wearing some of her jewelry at the moment. She does these little taggy things, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Clearly, I know what this is called. The little whatever, charms. Monogram, something, you know.
Yeah.
So when she came to me, she was doing it in her home, right? Home office. And it wasn't even like a full room. It was like a corner of a spare bedroom, right? She was doing it. She had all the little tags and she was doing it. And so she came into my office and she said, listen, I'm doing pretty good. I'm taking home about $80,000 a year. It's just me at the time selling on Etsy, right? I'm doing pretty good. My husband's in the military and, you know, so together we're making some good money. Is there anything we can do, right? I don't think so. Common answer. I don't think there's anything. My CPA told me there's nothing, but, you know, friend of a friend told me about you. And so what can we do, right? So fine. So we talk, she gives me all the details, she leaves. Now she comes back. This is about 3 months later, right? These plans back then were about 200 pages. Now they're about 800 pages. So they take a little while, right? Okay. She comes back like 3 months later and she's in my office and I start to talk to her. I'm showing her the book and I'm like, okay, this is what we do. And this is how we can start to reduce the taxes. And she starts crying at my desk. And I'm like, clean it? What do we do? Clean it? And she's like, no. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so out of it. Right. I mean, she's just totally distressed. I'm like, we can stop. Like, tell me, talk to me, right. What can I do to help? And she's like, no, my son just got diagnosed with cancer and the surgery is going to be like 50 grand. I mean, she's just right. Gone. And I'm pausing even now. I'm getting goosebumps even retelling the story. And I paused and I'm like, listen, here's the deal. You tell me what you want to do. Do you want to keep going through this or like we can reschedule? And she's like, no, I'm here. Show me. I'm going to be slow on implementing things because like, I'm all over the place right now. And I'm like, okay, here's the deal. Let me flip to the back of the book. Here's the results. By implementing these 15 strategies, you're going to save about $75,000 a year in taxes. She literally just, pouring tears. Hugging me across the desk. Like, I know this woman,
but
like
writing
not,
off her expenses or what? $75,000.
Craziness. Okay. So very long story short, she says, you just literally paid for my son's cancer surgery. I'm like, no, you did. You have the business. Anyway, coolest story ever. Now, of course, at this point, her business is huge. She's blown it up. Exactly. She's got, I think it's like 20 something people on staff. She owns a couple buildings. They big laser presses. I mean, she does all this stuff. And her son is fine. Son is good. He's a big, tall boy now, right? Really, nice. Really big boy. I think that's my favorite part about what we do for people is that we get to help them when they need it, right? And I'm gonna cry. So
yeah,
we're not crying on air, but I think that's my favorite part about what we get to do, and to see clients be able to take cash and do what they need to do with the cash, not the government spending the money however the government wants us. Like, she got to do what she needed with her money, and that was huge for me. So.
Oh, I gotta love a tax accountant that cries.
Love. It's all the good stuff.
So. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna lay some love. And to me, that's what business is. That's the reason we do the things we do, so that we can do the things we want for our family and be able to get there. And that's the reason why the government has tax write-offs, so that you can spend the money on the things that you want to do, to be able to move the economy forward in the way that you see fit, because they're not on the ground. They're looking at the 40,000 square foot or 40,000 view, and you're on the ground. You know where the money should be spent. So that's why we do it the way we do. Awesome.
Yes.
My brain just went, done. Oh, okay. Mic drops.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. So, one of the things that I did want to ask you, I know I had a question for you that I wanted to ask you and I totally skipped my brain. What was the question I was going to ask you?
Well, I think it was basically about, like, where does somebody start? Because, you know, one of the hardest.
That's what it was, is do they get a hold of their tax accountant first and then go and do their taxes and bring in their tax back to you? Or is there a better way to do that?
So basically, let's think about the flow of the taxes, right? Because if you go to your CPA first, your CPA records history, right? So this is what did happen last year, and I'm preparing the tax return. And so, like, it's already done. It's already over. So really, you have to swap the chicken and the egg in that standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be working on the strategies during the year, right? If you're going to pay your kids, you have to do that before December 31st. If you're going to write off your dogs, you have to do that before December 31st. If you're going to max out a defined benefit plan or buy a 6,000-pound car or more, or use the Augusta rule to get 14 days of rent completely tax-free. Like, if you're going to use these things, they have to be done before December 31st. So really, you need to be looking and working with the tax strategist during the year. Because, you know, yes, you can call us super end of the year, right? 2 weeks left. There's maybe one thing we could do, right? Maybe big, maybe small, right? But if we have an entire year, if we have 12 months to be able to do what we need to do, we're talking 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. I mean, I think the largest single savings that we've ever gotten for somebody was 112.6 million in a single year. And they had a big deal. It was a big sale and, like, all this stuff. But, like, these numbers can get big. And so whatever you do, don't wait until the last minute. Don't come after the year's over. So definitely reach out to a strategist before you reach out to the CPA.
So I want to talk to you about, one, what did it take for you to build your $1 million business? And two, what do you think is kind of paramount to being able to do that?
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with the paramount question first, and then I'll go back to the first one. I believe paramount is you have to let go. You cannot control it all. You can't do all the things. There's not enough hours in the day. And if you want sleep and if you want sanity, you cannot control all the things. And that's hard, I believe, for a lot of entrepreneurs, because they are so used to being basically effectively control freaks. So never. But it takes time, right? And I think that for me goes back to the first question, which is what was that switch? How did that even happen? Very long story short, I was going along, running my CPA practice, totally happy. One day, my senior tax reviewer came in and said, you know what, I'm done, I'm retiring. And my heart broke. I'm like, well, I'm never going to be able to find somebody to replace. Like, my brain just, right? So after 3 or 4 months, and I'm talking to friends, and I'm trying to hire, and I'm trying to, at this point, I'm trying to hire across the entire US, right? This was many, many years ago before I went digital. Couldn't find anyone. I was competing against some of the huge CPA firms, right? And they were paying people 150% of whatever the salary, like, just couldn't even afford to do it. So I went out for lunch with a very good friend of mine. And I said, so how are you finding people to work for you? Like, I, now I'm going to have to do the reviews, and I can't do all the things at once, right? How do I do this? And he said, oh, well, I mean, I have an entire team in India. I'm like, hello, are you holding out? And
hey, 3 billion people over there.
Right. What it triggered for me, right, is the ability to, you don't have to be sitting in the same room with somebody to be able to do the work that at least we do, right? As long as they know US tax law, which we have an entire team now that is all over the globe, and they don't even know Indian law. They know US tax law. It's crazy. And we've got the Philippines, and we've got Africa. I mean, we've got people everywhere. But in order, it was a mind shift there, because in my head, I had always been trained, no, the person I'm working with needs to be sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. And realizing that we could go global made a massive shift, took a huge expansion, and allowed me to help more people, which for me was huge, right?
Absolutely. I love that. When the lockdown hit, we were at a team meeting, and I went, okay, so from now on, everybody's going to be working from home. And I went, yeah.
Yep.
We have been for the last 2 years. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know.
Well, and you know, we went all digital, what, 11 years ago now. Tax Goddess will be 20 years old next year, August. Thank you. Yeah. So at the time, it was like Zoom was a new thing.
Right.
So slowly but surely. But we now actually teach other professionals how to go digital, how to hire overseas, how to set up the security, all that kind of stuff if they want to go global. So
I love it. And it's funny, because if anybody doubts this, I used to run it was a therapy clinic, but there was a basis in hypnosis. And I closed down the office. I went, if I can work with clients everywhere, like, I don't need to see my local people either. So why am I paying this for rent? Yep. So I closed that down. And I think that was about 2010. We went online, and I basically did hypnosis online with my clients. And and now it's even easier, because they just have a cell phone. This is perfect. Right, we didn't have the cell phones back then, which sounds funny. And like, how did we not have cell phones in 2011?
All I know is I'm happy we have them now. Thank goodness. So yes,
I love it. So that letting go and setting up those systems for people. What about when they get into the tax or the cash crunch? Because I know so many businesses get in cash crunch and they're like, I just need more sales, and then I'll be okay. And that is an exhausting, suffocating position to be in, but almost everybody hits that wall.
Absolutely. One of the very first things I tell businesses when they very first start is I want you to follow effectively a modified profit first accounting method. Okay. And for any of you that have read Mike Michalowicz, that's the name of the author for the book, The Profit First. His system is extremely strict. And for new business owners, they have so much else going on in their mind. They just can't, like, there's no more space left in the head. So if you go with a modified version, which is basically every dollar that comes in, 30% goes into an account that you don't touch ever for nothing. Nothing. You don't touch it. You don't spend it. You don't anything. If you can get used to living on 70% of your money, especially when you first start out, you will never run into that cash crunch. Never. Now, if you're already there, because you didn't know about profit first, you're just learning about it now. Okay. If you're already there, start smaller. Start with every dollar that comes in, put away 2% and start building up. 2%, 4%, 6%, 8%, start building up to the 30%. Even if you can only get yourself a $1,000 emergency fund, better than nothing, better than going into debt, better than getting on credit cards, better than anything else. So we are actually in the works of an app for that.
There's an app for that?
There's an app for that. There will be, coming out in February. So nice. Keep your eyes open, but super, super exciting. So,
nice. Yeah. Well, and two, I don't think people realize, and it's not for every bank, but there's a lot of banks that will offer free subsidiary accounts. as long as you're buying your, or paying for your business account. So then you have this kind of little pocket on the side that you just stifle money through. And one of the things that the Canadian banks do, which is kind of fun, is every time you spend money on your debit card, it'll automatically put a percentage over there. You decide ahead of time what percentage you want. Every time you swipe your card, a little percentage goes over there. And it's just a sweet way to be able to sock away money that your account, you can move it back anytime you really need to. Yep. But to just get in that habit of putting money away is phenomenal. Awesome. Love it. Anything else you would like to say to somebody that's thinking about building a seven figure or even an eight figure, if they're stuck at seven figures and they're going, what do I got to do? This isn't working. Anything you want to talk to these people about?
Well, of course, get tax strategies, because that will reduce your taxes, give you cash flow to be able to expand. Okay. Let go, which we talked about. Hire the people that are the opposite of you. Okay. So you may not enjoy working with them, right? Because you may be a light, fluffy person and they're a serious, super technical person or whatever, but you need that balance. You have to have that balance. You have to have the other people's skill set that you don't have. If you can put together that right circle of people and then let them go, let them do what they are good at. Going back to the control a little bit, right? We'll let them go because they will just blow it up. If they can see the vision you can see, they will blow it up. So
love it. So love it. Love it. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How did they start that journey with you?
Oh, you're sweet. The easiest way to find us, we're pretty easy. Taxgoddess.com. We're in all the places, right? Twitter and Facebook and all the things. The easiest one, taxgoddess.com. And I'm pretty sure in the top right, there's a contact us, book an appointment button thingy. So you will reach out to me and the team. We'll gather some information, figure out all those chess pieces, and then come back to you with tax savings. What do we see that we can do? So
beautiful. And I assume the book is available on your website. Is it also available on Amazon?
It is. Yes. So the 6% Life, it is on Amazon. You can, of course, get it on the website as well, but Amazon would be lovely. So yeah, please, and enjoy. There are 7 tax strategies in there. It's a great starter spot. If you've never worked with a strategist and you're kind of like, well, my CPA is good, because let's back up. CPAs are great. I love CPAs. I'm sure you love your CPA. How do we get to that next? What's that next level?
Well, I think you nailed it on it's future pacing versus a report of the past.
100%.
And that's what you got to wrap your mind around, and how you can run your business differently with a few little tweaks in it to be able to do it. I can't tell you how many people just alone don't take annual business meetings. It's like, why?
What? No, right now, business reflection time, people. Business reflection time.
Anyway, write that shit off. write that shit off. Awesome. So of course we will have all show notes links in the show notes, so go ahead and scroll down and click on those links, open up in a new browser, because we're not done yet. So I get to ask you, Shauna, at what point in life did you know you're a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Oh geez. Well, there's a very famous picture of me at the age of 4 sitting with a calculator, a 10-key, a pencil, and a yellow pad of paper. And apparently I used to always be the person sent in the family to go get the check from the waiter. So I think it's just born in with the redhead when I was born. It's my bet. So.
I love it. That is awesome. You've been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
Tax love, peeps. Keep the cash in your pocket and enjoy life.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and I know how valuable it is.
Thank you for having me.
So, peeps, thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.